Teddy Katz was born in Haifa in 1943 when Haifa was in Palestine. From 1979 to 1982, he worked to encourage Jews in Mexico to leave their homeland and to settle in Israel. But recently, Teddy Katz wrote, "I'm one of those Israelis, not all too many, who passed a very sharp change in their life, how they view Israel, its birth, and its way of life, inside and outside." And Teddy Katz is now touring across the United States and Canada speaking about this change. And he joins me now in the studio this morning. Good morning, Teddy, and thanks for coming in.
Good morning.
Maybe I can start with the big question. What was it in your life experience that brought about this change that you wrote as having?
Well, the bottom line of all of this change was in 82, when the what we call the Lebanon War happened there. I was still abroad. I still asked everywhere when we were on our way back to Israel, I still asked everywhere the ambassadors if we are needed. I am, as a very famous general, you know, thought maybe I'm able to help. But when I came home and I began asking my friends what happened, why is this war about, they told me they tried, the Palestinians, they tried to kill our diplomat Argov in London. And this is a reason why to conquer Lebanon and why to conquer capital of Lebanon, Beirut. I asked, he told me, that's what they say. But then friends of me who were more and more deeper in matters told me that George W. Sharon had already much before those plans to invade Lebanon, and it was only just the opportunity to enter there while they tried to kill that diplomat of us, Argov. The point is that always I saw things and I thought, okay, with the time I'll probably understand them better. But this time never came, and with the time, beginning with that time of the War of Lebanon, but with the time I also decided to begin studying in the university. And while studying in the university, I had already officially the reason to begin digging more and more in papers and in facts. And I began to discover more and more that whatever I was told in my life by my parents, by my teachers, by all of those people of that age, I found that it was only sometimes half of the truth, which is worse than a lie, and sometimes just an invention that was convenient for someone like Ben-Gurion, who was the founder of Israel. But many times I found, for instance, in his diary of the war that he wrote every night, I found that he, as someone who looked very far, he didn't write everything. He just wrote what he thought will be look nice in the future. And for instance, in the 80s, in the beginning of the 80s, when historians found already the possibility to begin checking documents of the War of 48, for instance, one of the documents that came from the east, from the north, and from the south of the battles, there was a small document of Ben-Gurion: everyone and thing that resist, there is to get out. Now in Hebrew there is a word that does not explain you exactly get out to kill or get out just to put it aside. And this was not the case. This was directly said by for two options. And when historians came to the a commander of that area in the north to ask him what happened after that you received this order in July, August 48 about this, and he said, I never received it. So they told him, this is the paper. It was found in your commandment. Well, I never saw it. But he was very well known. He was later, as all of the generals of Israel, he was later a minister in the government. But he was very well known as one who finished and ruined many, many, many villages in the north part of Israel. But in the diary of Ben-Gurion, nothing of this appeared. Nor the document, neither the fact that many villages that did not fight, because most of that fight at those times in 48 was not done by the villages. It was done by volunteers that came from outside of the villages. They were called like the army of salving the Palestinians, but most of the villages did not fight, and nevertheless most of them, let's say 553 villages, were ruined, and most of them after the war, something that we in our words may call it ethnic cleansing.
You yourself, when you went back to university at Haifa, began historical studies, and you did some research on one of these Palestinian villages, the village of Tantura, mm-hmm. near Haifa itself. And what did you discover? By you spoke with some of the soldiers in the Jewish armies about that event.
Yeah. What characterizes my thesis, and I'm very sorry and shameful to tell you that 8 years later, nowadays, I still don't know about another thesis that includes also oral history testimonies. I was asked, how comes that you want to be based on oral history in your thesis? My answer is that when you are making a contemporary research, and people who took part in what you research are alive, you must be the one that has to explain why you did not include those testimonies.
The oral testimony.
Of course.
Yes.
I made this research about five villages. I found very soon that whenever I mentioned, I mentioned all kinds of names in front of Palestinians in order to ask them where are people of villages. And the people I would find, according to those names, I will make my research. Very soon I found that whenever I mentioned the name of Tantura, it's very irregular, the reaction. So I asked them, what is it about? And the answer was a big massacre. So it was sure for me that as an historian, not as an Israeli, not as nothing but historian, as an historian in that very noble University of Haifa, I was taught that whenever I find something relevant to my research, it belongs to my thesis, no matter if it's nice or ugly, because history is not something of flowers. History is something of life. It may be unpleasant sometimes. Even for me as a Jew, it was very, very sad and ugly what I discovered. And I'll give you just one or two examples. One of the soldiers told me that when the village was conquered, all of the people were taken to the seashore. And they were put, men one side, and the children and the women and old people to the other side. And his commander of his company was walking among those men, asking them, where is your rifle? The moment the one said, I have no rifle, he just shot him in his head. But those who said, well, my rifle is hidden somewhere next to my house. So he was noted, taken to his house, and people said that the rifle went out and the one did not. In a certain moment, what happened, I also interviewed another general, well, most of them generals. I asked him about what happened in Tantua. He told me, in a certain minute, I couldn't bear any longer what my friends had done in the cemetery of Tantura. I asked him, what are you talking about? He said, no matter, go ahead to the other villages like Jaba, Ijzim, and Razal, because I researched 5 villages. Only when I finished, I found that I have too much material. It could be for an encyclopedia, so I decided to make my thesis only about Umen Zenat and Tantura. I asked him what happened in the cemetery. He told me, never mind. I thought, what, did they kill someone? No, go ahead. But a minute later, he told me, but you know what? Even the Germans did not kill military prisoners alive. What does German have to do here? I came for those villages. But at the same days where I interviewed him, I was interviewing also the Palestinians. And the Palestinians did got into details. And they told me that in a certain moment, after they all were in the seashore, all the men were taken to the cemetery. They put them in lines. And they ordered them to begin digging. Every line that finished digging was shot and fell directly to the holes. Does this remind you anything about Germans? So I, as an historian, thought that there was only one cemetery in Tantura, and we are speaking about the same one with the high officer and with the Palestinians. So having already this story, among others that I can't get into details, having already this story of a Jew, it is not a Palestinian bluffer. You remember the thousand nights and night of stories of Harun al-Rashid. We used to say, okay, all the Palestinians are bluffer. It's not, but when having the story of this Jew, a general, recorded on a tape recorder, what may I do? Shall I swallow it because it's unpleasant or something? So I hadn't, and much many more stories about their being shot in among the trees. Someone told me that he was going with a pistol behind another Palestinian, that he promised him that he will let his mother go out under the condition that he will give him his rifle. But suddenly gang of soldiers came and was going to kill he and the other one, and in the last second he told them hold. But when they got into his house, he gave him his rifle, and suddenly other soldiers entered, and for the first thing they shot him, although the rifle was not in his hand. So these kinds of stories led me, unfortunately, to the conclusion that there was there a big massacre.
I would like to continue more, but we don't have time right now. But I do want to let people know of the meeting where you will be speaking about these things and your tour across Canada. And also, I assume, why others should take your information and reconsider their views of what is the nature of the situation in Israel and Palestine today.
I would only like to tell you that I'm not telling you my personal story as my personal story. I only say that this is another chapter, a very bloody one, in the same story that goes on until now. Exactly as nothing happened in Tantura 48, nothing happened in Jenin 2002, when it was all closed for birds even 13 days, and nothing happened in 2004 in Bet Lahia, Gaza, Bet Hanun, and Rafah, and nothing is happening nowadays whenever every pilot is throwing every kind of a bomb on full houses of people, civil people. And lately we've heard that Sharon nominated General Chalutz, the chief of staff of the Air Force, to be the chief of staff of the whole army, and this was the one who said lately that when a bomb of a ton fell down, I just feel something here next to me, but don't you worry, I sleep very well at night. So this is a kind of a moral example for all of our youngsters, for all of those who get mobilized to the army. And among so many, and believe me, Israel is full of generals like sand in the seashore. From all of the generals, you take him to be that first, that number one. This is very, very problematic. And it's more problematic when the other George W. whatever here is backing 100% this kind of politician there in Israel. And therefore, I came until here to make everything possible to move every one of you to put something on the way of having the whole truth on one hand only.
Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Teddy Katz, and he's going to be speaking tomorrow, Sunday, at 2:30 p.m. And the meeting is at the Spec House, which is at 2150 Maple Street, which is Maple and 6th.